And I know we've been here a long time. We went through a lot of the curses and went through a lot of the blessings. I got two we want to share. I didn't quite get finished last week. Share them quickly. And then I've got really another direction I want to go to today. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse number 1. Good to see you all this morning. Deuteronomy 28 says, "And it shall come to pass," of course, God has spoken to Moses, and Moses speaks to the people, and they're getting prepared to go into the promised land. Says, I've taken you out of Egypt, which, by the way, is a picture of us getting saved. So I'm released from my bondage of slavery, our bondage of our slavery to our sin that gets the best of us. He says, "I want to take you to the promised land, and I want you to enjoy the promised land." Now it's trying to teach us the victorious Christian life. God wants you to have a good life. And now, you know, if you know Christ as your Savior, you know that you're a sinner. You know that because you're a sinner, you deserve death and hell. But you believe that Jesus Christ died and paid for all your sins, and you accept Him and Him only. You call upon the name of the Lord, ask Him to save you. He will save you, and you're saved for all eternity. It's done. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You didn't earn it in the first place. You can't earn to keep it. It's yours. However, we got a while to go until we get to heaven. There's a trip that we're gonna take between now and then, and so we've got to make. God says, "I'll help you enjoy your trip if you let me." But if you're going to walk your own way, you're going to go your own direction. You're on your own. And again, for those who are visiting with us, it talks about the curse. The curse occurred during Adam and Eve. They sinned, and God cursed the earth. And the earth is cursed naturally. It's the natural inclination. Is the earth is winding down, the earth is falling apart, there's corruption, and it's just a mess. But God says, "I will supersede the curse. I will supersede the curse if you want me to." But if you want to just go ahead and just live in the mess of the curse, that's your business. But I'll help you have the blessings. The blessings is where God overrules the curse and does that. It's sometimes the supernatural to help you have a good life. And He does that, but you've got a choice to make. You can choose life or death, blessing or cursing. It's our choice. Now, when we get to chapter 28, he's talking to them. He's telling them one more time. Now, they looked over into the promised land. He said, "There's a bunch of giants over there. It's a wonderful land. It's going to be too hard to take it." So they wandered around in Israel for... Okay, I'm sorry. I'm walking away from the microphone already, aren't I? So they... 40 years. Ah, I'm alive. They went around the wilderness for 40 years, and finally, all that generation that decided they didn't want to go in is gone, and God gives them another chance to go into the promised land, and Joshua leads them in. That's what's happening here, about ready to go into the promised land. So in verse 1 of chapter 28, it says, "And it shall come to pass," watch, "if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God," you've heard me quote this many times the last few weeks, "if thou hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord," capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah, Yahweh, the God of the universe, "the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." And of course, you know, people say, "Well, that was a promise to Israel." That's true. But the Bible also says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." The nation there means Gentile nation, world nation, non-Israel nations. He said, "Listen, God's no respecter of persons, but those who will do right and live righteously with Him is accepted with Him." So God's not counting us out. He's just using the Israelites as a good example for us to see how it works. So let me keep reading here. "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all this commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken to the Lord
thy God. You don't, in other words, if you just, many people are out there looking for the blessings. He says, you don't have to look for the blessings. He says, you do what I ask you to do, and the blessings will look for you. The blessings will come looking for you. Our God is not, we don't have to worry about looking for the blessings. Our God is the looking for God, diligently seeking Him, His Word, so that we can not only see what His Word says, but jump in with both feet and do it. We can look at it all we want, but if we don't actually do it, and by the way, sometimes doing it means don't doing certain things. Don't do certain things. But as we obey His Word, then we'll see His blessing. Let's have a word of prayer. And today, I got two quick little things to kind of clean up from last week. And then I'm going to preach on this. Living among the blessings on purpose. Living among the blessings on purpose. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the way You've given us truth. Lord, forgive us when we just shrug it off and we walk away from it. We look at it and then we turn aside and go do our own thing. And it breaks Your heart when we're not living under the blessings. It breaks Your heart to see us being battered by the curse. But yet, Lord, it's of our own doing because we've made a choice. So, Lord, I pray that You'll bless our time here. Help me to be a blessing to these folks, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Now, the Lord has a plan for us. And we can be blessed and live a relatively stress-free life. Or we can refuse the blessings by refusing to live the way the Lord has commanded us. It's our choice. By the way, to not choose to obey God is to make a choice to not obey God. If we have to make a choice whether we're going to obey Him or not. If we don't choose to obey Him, then basically we're saying I don't need Him. We're fine. Neutral is not an answer. It's you have not gone into the realm of making the choice to serve God. Now, for those folks who were here, you'll understand where I'm going with this. But we were talking about the blessings and the blessings that come to a nation that believes God. And so if you jump down to verse 12, well, last week this is where we left off, chapter 28, verse 12. If we are blessed by God, the weather will cooperate and function as the Lord designed it. That's what it says. Look at verse 12. The Lord shall open unto thee His good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land unto His season, and to bless all work of thine hand. In other words, again, we had a whole list of things. You might be visiting. It sounds like we're coming out of the middle of nowhere here, but if you were here last week, you know what I'm talking about. He says one of the blessings you have is that God makes the weather work the way it's supposed to work. I really believe climate change is because of man, but because he's not obeying God, not because of he's driving cars. I really believe that. There's problems, there's issues, and we're trying to find, listen, the world is trying to find an answer. Just like evolution, they're trying to find an answer other than God. Because if evolution is not true, in fact, there was one particular atheist said, if evolution has to be true, because if it's not true, then our only other choice is God, and we can't have that. So the fact is, they're looking for an answer as absurd as life coming out of the middle of nothing. And everything was on one little piece of mass that was the size of the head of a pin. And then it all blew up, and here we are. As stupid as that sounds, man will do anything to try to get around the idea that we're accountable to a holy and a righteous God. And the same thing goes with here. When 9/11 happened, everybody got all upset because someone said, I wonder if God's trying to tell us something. Oh, that can't be right. How dare you say that? What do you say, we're sinners? Yeah, I think so. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. You tell me you're not? Well, they said, well, of course, they look at a sin. Well, I'm a sinner if I'm sinning against a righteous God. But there is no God, well, then I'm not sinning against Him. So then what are you upset about? When we say that maybe God's trying to get our attention. You don't believe in God, so He's not trying to get your attention. Yeah, He is. So he says, the Lord shall open unto thee the good treasures of heaven to give thy rain unto the land in his season, to bless all the work of thine hand. The Lord, in other words, if we're under the spout where the blessings come out, the Lord's not resisting us. And notice the implication here that the lack of regular rain could be because the Lord is resisting us. I still believe that's true. Climate change, he says, if we're being blessed, climate change wouldn't be hurting us. The Lord can supersede the effects of climate change for those that are hearkening diligently to his words, or they will observe to do it. We will be less likely to lose our crops in extreme weather conditions, even though those around us are losing it. I'm just saying, and I've spoken on this before, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but the fact is that was the next one. I'm going to finish up one more. Let me do the second with you. The second part of that verse says, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. In other words, if we're living the way, if the nation as a whole is basically living the way the Lord wants us to live, he says, I'm going to bless you, and if I'm blessing you, then we will be much better off financially than the average nation, and we will have so much that we can give and lend and loan to other nations. Now, it used to be like that. Everybody shows up, and they're still doing it. The problem is we don't have the money to give out. We're so far in debt. If they call our debts in, we're in trouble. But it used to be that's what we had, but we're still trying to live like we have money. We will not have to be obligated to others just to get by in life or to keep our nation going. If we obey God, we could depend on God to take care of us and see us through the difficult times instead of living and having to depend upon some other nation to take care of us. The Lord may use others to help us, but it will still be the Lord enacting this process. You know, some liberals were criticizing President Trump for choosing to isolate instead of acquiescing to other nations for support. They remember that they accused him of being an isolationist because he said you got to go schmooze these guys because that's the only way you're going to be able to protect the nation. You got to make sure you're happy with these people. These people are happy with you. They think we need to make alliances with other nations for protection and combined power to keep us safe from other aggressors, even if we have to compromise truth and righteousness to do so. Many want to make friends with anyone and everyone, no matter what we might be linking up with, thinking that there is strength in our associations and our alliances with other nations. They have very little concept of the fact that friendship with the world is enmity with God. Just hang on with me. We are not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. We are to come out from among them and be separate, and God will be a father to us, he said. Well, what's a father do? He takes care of his kids. He provides for his kids. He protects his kids. God says he'll be our father if we will come out from among that mess. So why do we seek the power of man for our strength and safety over the power of God? God is the one who sets up kings and takes them down. Our alliances and the allegiance needs to be with God, whether we can align ourselves with other nations or not. This many times in the Old Testament, the Lord told Israel, don't go down to Egypt looking for help. Don't go to the world looking for help. I'm your God. I'm bigger than the whole bunch of them put together. A lot of how people have a hard time believing it. That's because we've been going the other direction for so long. And I understand that no man is perfect, so that any allegiance and alliance is with an imperfect nation. However, we should not align our other nation. For instance, the Lord said to Israel, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse you who curse you. I will curse those who curse you, right? So why should I get aligned up with a nation that is against Israel? I'm not saying we can't sell them goods and do business and commerce, but I'm not gonna, why should I trust them to be the protection for our nation? In fact, to tell you the truth, they may do more damage than good. Again, if you read your Old Testament, you'll see that's been the case. They've made alliances with people they should have never made alliances with and ended up doing more damage than good. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but We should not compromise our alliance with God by giving into the demands of the world or compromising the word of God in order to stay in good graces with some world power. Psalm 118:6 says, "The Lord is on my side, and I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me." It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. "All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them." He is our hope, our foundation. So when we can be the world power we once were if we stick with God instead of seeking the graces of heathen nations. Look at verse 13. "And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them." It will not be that we have great power, but that we have the power of God and God's hand, a blessing on us. We're not any greater than any other nation. But if we have God, we have greater power. And the fact is, that's kind of where our nation is right now. We've turned our back so much on the things of God, and we're trying, I mean, I hate to say it, President Biden just made some other announcements today how we're going to stand behind, you know, the LGBTQ. I'm not upset with them. We should not mistreat them. But they're wrong. According to God's word, they are. Now, I want to lead them to the Lord. I want to see them grow in Christ. I want to see them get out of that. They don't see it that way, and I understand that. We shouldn't hurt them. We should go out and burn their houses down or string them up. I'm not saying we should do any of those things. But the fact is, it's still wrong. And it goes against God's word. And we wonder why we're starting to become the tail. We're working our way down the backside of the dog is what's going on. You know what I'm saying? We're becoming the tail instead of the head. And that's because we're deciding to do things on our own. Now, those were from last week. I was finishing up. Let me give you some things here today. If we're going to have the blessings of God, it's not going to be a matter of luck. It's not going to be an accident that you happened to be under the blessing. He tells us what to do. He's got a plan. Here's how you're supposed to do it. You got to do it on purpose. You want God's blessing, you're going to have to do it on purpose. Listen, I'm not saying, I'm glad you're here in church. You're learning the word of God. The fact is, sitting in this pew is not necessarily going to put you under the blessings. You can observe it, but we've got to do it. If we're going to get the blessings, we've got to walk into the realm of where the blessings are. God doesn't walk in the dark, he walks in the light. You can say, well, God's over there. Yes, he is. And he'll pull you out of the mud, but he's not going to go down in the mud. He'll help you get back out if you want to get back out. If you say, I'm sorry, I've been messing up, God save me, I think he will if you're truly repentant. But some people want to walk in the mud and they want the blessings down there. The blessings are up here where he's walking. The blessings are over here in the light. I just the way it works. Well, he's a loving and merciful God. Yeah, he is. And fact is, you get saved, I don't care how far you go down in the muck and the mire, if you're saved, you're still going to heaven. It's a gift of God. But if you're saved, you've got the Holy Spirit, and they're telling you, don't do that. No, that's stupid. Don't do that. Don't do that. Come on, get out of there. It's miserable. It's like taking your mother on a date. You know what I mean? It's just terrible. You know what I mean? You want to have fun. You can't have any fun because it's right there all the time. And the Holy Spirit will work on you and work on you. There's no hardly anybody more miserable than a Christian out of the will of God. But there are some people who they kind of ride the fence. And they kind of listen over here and they kind of listen over here. And they're never getting the full response of the blessings of God because they won't give God their full heart. So here we go. First one. We must decide to purposely hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord so that we can observe to do all his commandments. You've got to know them before you can do them. But you've got to do that on purpose. You have to show up. You got to read your Bible. You got to show up to church. You got to listen to the word. You got to take time and meditate on it. You've got to know the word before you can do it. Well, I think I'm doing it. How, well, do you know? There's a lot of people who think they're obeying God. And, you know, a penny saved is a penny earned. That's what a good book said. Well, it might be in a good book, but it's not in this good book. You know, it's a nice saying, and it probably is true. But there's an awful lot of people that people say, well, I heard this, and I heard this, and I make this part, and I live by this. And how many times people say, well, I live by the Ten Commandments? Name them. And they'll get don't steal and don't commit adultery and don't lie. That covet thing, we'll just leave that one out because I really want a car like my neighbor has. And before long, we know what? We usually don't get past the first one. Well, you know what it is. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Who are you trusting to get you through life? Anything other than the Lord Jehovah is a sin. Your bank account is not what's getting you through life. God controls your bank account. You think you do. This is what he said. Look at verse 14. Thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Now, we cannot be laxed or lazy about hearkening to the voice of the Lord to observe, to obey his commands, but we must be diligent and purposeful. We can't just kind of drift over here for a little bit, and oh, let's go over here, I'm going to take a vacation from God. And I'm just going to do, he said, no. He says, listen, You can't just be laxed about this. You cannot just pick and choose and take the parts you like and throw out the parts you don't like. That's not hearkening diligently to the voice of the Lord. We cannot do as we please on a regular basis, and then when we come to a difficult place, all of a sudden we go back and try to make the Lord happy with some token obedience and expect him to fix it. Much of the promises that God gives us are long-term promises. They're the results of making godly decisions all along the way. So there's some people who just take the things, the word of God, just kind of, you know, they're just kind of neutral. They're not really, you know, they're at church some and here and there, and they kind of try to do right, you know, and then they wonder why their kids didn't turn out right. And then all of a sudden they want to fix it. Well, listen, you've been training those kids for the last 18 years. What they saw was, take it or leave it. We haven't taught them to hearken diligently. Hearken diligently. We reap what we sow. Now, we can start today and start doing right. You'd be surprised what God will do. Sometimes it gives you the years the locust ate. But harvest does not come overnight like a jack in a beanstalk. You know, I'm poor, but let's throw some beans out here, and tomorrow morning we'll find the bean. Look at that. We'll climb up there, and we'll take the giant's treasure and get out of town, and we'll be good to go. Now, what happens if you try to do something fast like that? You got a giant on your tail. That's what you got. Many folks will sow wild oats all along the way, and then they pray for a crop failure. So we must decide purposely that we're going to hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord. Secondly, we make a choice on purpose every time we decide if we're going to obey the Lord's commands or not. Do you realize, I've said this already, to not make a choice to obey God's command is to make a choice not to. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy 27. Go back one chapter to verse 1. Go back one chapter, 27:1. We'll just see some things here. And Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. Keep. You know, y'all know the Christmas stories, and there were shepherds guarding their flock, keeping their flocks by night. Shepherds in the fields, keeping their flock by night. That means they're guarding them. They're protecting them. They wouldn't say, well, lost that one to a wolf. Well, okay, but that's all right. No, you're protecting every single one of those sheep. You protect them to the nth degree. You provide for them. You care for them. You don't let anything get to them. Don't you mess with my sheep. You know what he just said here? We're supposed to keep all the commandments which I command you this day. That means I need to guard the Word of God. Not only do I need to guard it in my life, but I need to don't let anybody mess with it. Don't mess with the commandments of God. Do not allow any of it to get away from you. Watch. Do not pick and choose among the commandments. Don't forget to read it. Don't forget to heed it. Don't go to the left or to the right of it. Do not redefine the words to make it say what you want it to say so you can claim to be obeying it. A lot of people say, well, I bought a new Bible, and I like this one. And it says what I want to say, and I'm willing to obey this one. And we think now we're obeying God, but did God write that one? Or did man write that one? I mean, there are gay Bibles out there, and there's the feminist Bible out there, and there's the atheist Bible. There's all kinds of crazy things. There's the neutral, a gender neutral Bible, and all these kind of things. They take the Word of God and they change the words that they don't like, so it's palatable to them. And they say, "Well, I'm willing to obey that when it says Holy Bible, and I'm willing to obey that one." But where did it come from? You're making a God out in the image of you. God's trying to make you into the image of Him, to the image of Christ. And a lot of folks say, "Well, I'm going to obey." Listen, you cannot say you're hearkening diligently to the voice of the Lord if you're changing what He's saying before it gets to you. We cannot pick and choose the word because I don't like that part. I think it's mean. Some people think it's racist. Some think it's prejudice. It's judgmental, whatever it is. It's the Word of God. Take it up with Him. But if I give you a little word of wisdom, I wouldn't. Guard it. Part of that, watch, the word keep means this, to put a hedge around it. To keep the critters out. That's really what it means. Put a hedge around it to keep the critters out. In other words, don't allow others from the outside to come in and mess with the commands. There are people who are going to come in here and tell you, well, that's not really what it meant. Well, that's not what it meant. Don't allow the world to talk you out of it and steal your blessings. You realize if they can tell you that particular commandment is no problem anymore, you'll stop heeding it. And you know what you just did? You just stepped away from the spout where the blessings come out. And every time we take something, we throw it out, we're getting further away from where the spout where the blessings coming out. Have you ever been outside and you're hot and you're sticky and you've been mowing, you got grass all over you and so forth, and you want to go in and take a shower? You don't stand in the back of the shower and just kind of, you know, just stick your feet on there. Now you get under this thing and go, yeah. Just get it all off, right? You want to get it all off of you. Just keep washing me away. And the fact is, there's an awful lot of folks who just kind of dabble in the water of the Word. They just kind of get a little bit of it. They don't really want to get, you know, fanatical about it. Please, get fanatical. You know? Find out what the truth is. Don't let somebody else mess you up. Come in and sit. There are people who are out there that are trying to take what you have. And every time you let them take one of your commandments, you're further and further from the blessing. Don't allow the world to redefine the Word of God with their vast and varied translation. I kind of mentioned that. They'll steal your blessing. So we need to decide purposely, decide to hearken diligently. So then we must make a choice on purpose whether we're going to obey the Word or not. You want to be on the blessing, you got to do it on purpose. Number three, purposely choose to maintain the Word of God and pass it along to later generations. That's part of what is happening to our nation. We haven't been diligently passing it on to the next generation. Do not allow the law of God to be lost and forgotten. Look what's in verse 2, 27:2. And it shall be on the day when ye shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones, plaster them with plaster, and thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth milk and honey, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee. He said, well, I want you to write it down, set it in stone, so to speak. Maintain the preservation of God's word for posterity, for all generations to come, not just for historical sake, not just for old time's sake, not just for tradition's sake, not for nostalgia's sake, not for sentimentality. Well, you know, we go to church and, you know, it's what we do. And I like the lights and I like this and I like the ritual. That's not what he's talking about. There are folks who like all the ritual and they feel like they've done something, but they will not hearken diligent to the word of God to obey his commands. They'll go to church on Christmas Eve and do go through all the little things, and then they'll go home and Lord Jesus, last thing in their mind. They're looking to get to the bar in the basement as fast as they can. And then we wonder why we're still having the curse hurting our country, hurting our nation, hurting our lives, hurting our family. Look at verse 4. Therefore it shall be when ye be gone over Jordan that ye shall set up these stones, which I command you this day in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster, and there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones that shall not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build, in other words, don't go changing anything to make it look pretty. That's what he's saying. Don't try to make the word of God look pretty. Just use a big old rough stones. If that's what they are, then that's what they are. Take God's word for what it is. Don't try to stick your little 2 cents in there and try to make it palatable to everybody. That's not truth. You change it, you don't have his word. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord out of whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings unto the Lord thy God, and thou shalt offer peace offerings and shalt eat there and rejoice before the Lord thy God. Watch. And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law. Watch. Very plainly. Don't mess with them. Make it clear. Don't let it be indistinct. Don't let it be kind of obscured, unclear. He says, no, get it out there. The next generation are going to need to know the word of God. They're going to need to know exactly what I just said to you, because that's the word of God. If you want to be blessed, go back to the original here and find out what God wanted you to have. Not what everybody else in the whole world is saying. Well, you ought to have this. You ought to have that. You know, there's way too many people that allow some guy with a lot of reputation or at a big ministry or something, and all of a sudden they're going down the road where they shouldn't be going. And then it says, and Moses, verse 9, and the priests and the Levites spake unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel, this day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God and do his commandments, his statutes, which I command thee this day. So in other words, if you want to have the blessings of God, we got to purposely decide we're going to obey him, purposely decide that we're going to hearken to it, and purposely maintain the word of God. Don't let it slip out of your hand. Hang on to what the word says, because if I'm going to the right, to the left, every once in a while I'll turn my GPS on and it'll take me the strangest way. In fact, I know my way around here enough that sometimes it says something, I'm not going that way. And I'm thinking, why is it taking me all the way? I'm trying to get to my house and I'm coming down from Harrisburg and it will take me all the way down the 30. and then go across this way and wind back out. Well, I know all the places how to get there from come out, you know, come down here and take the, you know, either the Lewisburg exit or the Strinestown exit, and you can come out. If I take the Lewisburg, come out through Lewisberry, and come out through Alpine and come down here from the north, random down, scoot across here. It's really nice. The other one's nice and paved. I mean, you know, it's always great. I know. But the world says this is a better way to do it. Don't believe them. Now, what's that? They see here, 3, 4, 5, 4. Purposely give the people. Watch this. We want the blessings, and I'm thinking about the nation here, but it kind of goes for us too. But purposely give the people the bad news as well as the good news, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. That's why this loudmouth preacher does what he does. I want you all the way under the spout where the blessings come out. I don't want you dabbling in it. I don't want it splashing down in front of you. I don't want you to just see it. I want you to experience it. But the fact is, to experience, we've got to diligently listen, hearken to his voice, and do it. And if we're just still playing games, we're not under the spout yet. Now watch me. Verse 14, the Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice, it goes on, but the point is this, don't be shy about the truth. Make sure all the people hear the truth of God and the commands so they can obey them. Don't let the people miss it. This is life and blessing to them. Don't be timid about the truth, even when the truth is not pleasant. And don't allow the truth to be hidden or squelched by the world or by our daily activities. This is the word of God. This is the truth. So we need to take it all, just like it says. Let me give you another one. Don't let someone talk you into being cursed. Don't let someone talk you into being cursed. Even if they seem like they know what they're talking about. Now, these are hard. These are tough here. Hang on. Turn to Deuteronomy 13. I want you to see this written in the book. I think this is our last stop. Deuteronomy 13, verse number 1. Watch this. God wants us to be living under the blessings. And we want to live under the blessings. But so often, we'll take everybody's word for it instead of digging in to find out what it is for yourself. Listen, folks, you're not stupid. You can read that Bible. You can tell what it says. Don't let somebody talk you out of the truth. Because if they talk you out of the truth, they're going to talk you out of the blessings. When I was young, we got a new preacher in the church I grew up in. It wasn't a Baptist church. We got a new preacher. They send a denomination where they send you your preacher. And he came in, has a doctorate degree. I mean, he must know what he's talking about, right? And the thing is, he'd preach, and I thought, I am really stupid, or the Bible is so deep, but I don't understand where he's getting his messages. Because he'd read some scripture and then he'd talk about it. I'm thinking, man, I don't see any of that in there. Where's he finding any of this stuff? And I, to be honest with you, I must really be stupid. Well, then I graduated high school and went to college. Well, he was actually a professor at the local college where I went and got my music degree. And I needed to take so many religion and philosophy courses. And so I thought, well, I know this, I'm saved, but I know this school is not like that, but I'll take a course with my preacher, you know, it's not going to be any worse than Sunday morning. And so I got to listening to him and realized he didn't believe the Bible. This part's not true, and that's a fairy tale, they made that up, and so forth and so on. And he wasn't saved, and he didn't know you could know for sure if you're saved. And it was just a mess. And I realized I was trying to take what he was saying and trying to reconcile it with what the Bible said. I just became so confused. Well, that's like trying to learn how to run a Samsung DVR with a LG handbook. It doesn't line up. I mean, there's some similarities, but then when you actually try to apply it, it doesn't work because it's the wrong machine. It doesn't, one doesn't go with the other. And that's what I found out. He doesn't believe the Bible. Well, no wonder I'm confused. I believe the Bible. So when he says something, it's not going to make sense to me because I'm coming from a different perspective. But he has his doctorate degree. Watch. Credentials do not guarantee truth. And I'm warning you not to, I'm not the only one that has truth. I'm not saying that. And I'm telling you to go to the Bible yourself. And I'm saying you're smart to do some research yourself. But you know what? I hate to say it, all of us are a little bit on the, sometimes on the lazy side. We'll sit down in the living room, we'll turn on the TV, and the guy said, Jesus. Oh, okay, this must be good. He said, God. Well, he must be all right. Well, the devil knows those names too. I'm not calling the man a devil, but just because they stand up there and have a big ministry. So he has a great big church. He has a large national, international ministry. But is he agreeing with the word of God? Watch. Deuteronomy 13:1, watch this. It says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder. So this guy comes along and he says, this is what's going to happen. Verse 2. And the sign or the wonder come to pass. And it did. It happened. Whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let's go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. What? I mean, what he did came true, but you know what he said doesn't square with the word of God. So what do you do? Verse 3, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. He says, don't listen to him. Janet and I we came across something the other day, and they were talking about the story of the Branch Davidians and David Koresh and all that down in Waco, Texas, you know, back was the 80s, 90s, whatever it was there. And I always call it Waco, Texas when we're talking about them. But anyway, all of a sudden he decided he was the Messiah. And there are people today that came out of that fire, place burned down. There are people today who lost loved ones, who burned up in the fire, who still think he was the reincarnated Christ. They still believe that he was true. Even though the guy was after a while started saying, you know what, we're getting too worldly minded here, so you couples out there, you're no longer allowed to have physical relations. And then he decided that there's going to be 24 elders in the book of Revelation, and it's his job to bring them to the earth. So he needs to give birth, be the father of all these elders. So you're not using her anymore. So she'll be my wife, and she'll be my wife, and your wife, she'll be my wife. And they follow this guy. They didn't really like it, but they follow this guy. Because they said, well, he just speaks with such charisma, and his words just have such weight. Does it go along with the word of God? Hearken diligently unto the word of God, the word of the Lord, the voice of the Lord. That's where the blessings are. That's where truth is. But he has there's a lot of people follow. They came from all over the world to follow him. It means nothing. Just that there's people from all over the world following a lie. Look, so why does the Lord allow that to happen? Look at verse 3. Thou shalt not hearken to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. Watch. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. And ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. In other words, put him out of your life. He's dead to you. Because he has spoken to you to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, redeemed you out of the house of the bondage, to thrust out the way of which the Lord of God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. God did not deceive us, and this man should not have been able to deceive us, but we were supposed to be learning and obeying the word of God. He says, why did you let that happen? See if you're going to follow me or not. Why did God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the middle of the garden and then say, don't eat any? To see if you're going to follow him or not. Now, he already knows. It shows us our fickle heart. When things get tough, we decide we're going to do our own little thing. And so I'm following God, but this one was a little hard. I don't think he cares about that one. Who said? Then why did he put it in his word if he didn't care about it? Now I got one more, and this is really tough. This is really tough. Look at verse 6. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, your spouse, or thy friend, your BFF, someone you've been around all these years, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him. This is hard. You're saved. And you decide you're going to follow God. And you tell your best friend. And your best friend said, what? I got saved. You ought to do it too. I don't want anything to do with that. You're missing out. Come on. Let's go down to the bar and have a drink. That'll be all over. You'll forget about this. No. No, this is different. No. There are people who will walk away from following the Lord because they don't want to lose that friend. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. This is hard. But you don't want them to pull you away from the blessings. We need to get away from bad teaching, no matter who it is doing the teaching. If that person's stopping me from keeping the law and commands of God, then that person's hurting me more than helping me. I'm not saying, listen, we are not of the world. We are in the world. I didn't stop seeing my family. I didn't stop, you know, and even though they made fun of it, of me, but I know what I'm thinking, what I'm saying. Our family used to always get together on Easter, and we're a church I grew up in. We all had an early morning sunrise service, and by 10 o'clock we were out of there, and they'd all go back to their houses and get their food, and then we all come all meet at one house and have a big luncheon and spend all day there, until the evening, and so. We found a church that had good Sunday evening services, and about 5 o'clock, we'd pack up the kids and we'll see you all later. We're gonna go to church. And it was like they were insulted. No, they were insulted. And then he said, your preacher makes you go back to church on Sunday night on Easter? I said, no, I want to go back. You know, listen, I might miss a little nugget that's going to get me just that much closer to the Lord. I don't want to miss that. Now, if I said we're all having McNuggets, we'd all be there. But a little nugget from the Lord, well, that's not really worth that much. The Lord is serious about this. We should purposely do whatever we can to stay away from wrong influences. I'll finish with this one illustration, we're done. The world is trying to change truth and pressure us to accept it, which actually puts us in opposition to God, which draws us away from the spout where the blessings are. God still loves us. But if we don't want him to have to, he has to overrule the curse. But if we're not going to walk with him, don't expect to be overruling the curse like you want him to. Let me say this. I am a straight, monogamous, white male. So thus, I am now down on the low end of the totem pole. But I'm not ashamed of it. The world may tell you that there's something wrong with you. Obviously, I'm naturally a racist. I'm naturally, against women. I married one. I don't know why they think I'm against one, but I married one. You know, all these things. The truth is, God made me the way he wanted me to be. I don't have any prejudice against anybody. I don't. Honestly, I don't. I kind of wish you wouldn't against me either. But it is what it is. But the world will do whatever it can to try to pull you away. And a lot of times Christians will actually shrink back because they don't want to cause a problem. God said, stand. Put on the armor of God and stand. He didn't say put on the armor of God and attack. He didn't say put on the armor of God and destroy. But he did say put on the armor of God and stand. In fact, all you got to do is just do right and people are mad at you good enough right there. We had a couple years ago that was coming to this church, sweet couple. And I had the privilege to lead them to the Lord. And they came real regular. And then it got a little bit sparse, and I don't know whether I approached them or whether they approached me. But in the conversation, they said, well, Pastor, we're not going to be able to come to church there anymore. I said, oh, I'm sorry. Why is that? Well, you know, you're Baptist. I said, well, yeah, I knew that. And, you know, Baptists tend to believe the Bible. Well, I said, well, yeah. Well, if you believe the Bible, then there's certain things that you probably think is, you know, wrong because what the Bible has said. I said, well, yeah. We got some family members who are gay. And they found out we were going to church here. And they basically said, you got to decide whether you're going to be part of our family or not. And, you know, we don't want to, I mean, this is our family. So we're not going to be able to come here anymore. That's what I'm talking about. You know what they just did? They just stepped out. I'm not saying they're falling apart. I'm not saying God's attacking them. I'm not saying any of that. But the blessings that God had, a lot of the blessings that God had in store for them, they're not going to be here to get. You don't need to be here, but you need to be living for the Lord, wherever it is you Bible-believing churches that you're at. And they're going to miss out. So well, that's hard. Listen, I was a Christian in a family that ate Christians for lunch on Sunday, if you know what I mean. They had him for lunch. But I had gotten saved. And and many of them thought I was stupid and fanatical and off the deep end. And as time has gone by, the large, vast majority of them have gotten saved. In fact, I've done the funeral for a lot of them. In fact, I started getting, all of a sudden they allowed me to do a funeral with one of them, and of course I gave the gospel. Now I say, now bless God, y'all thought I was wrong. I'm going to tell you. Yeah, you don't do that. You know, that's not the way to do it. But I lovingly gave them the gospel, and they started getting saved. And I got to start doing funeral after funeral. They call me up when they're in the hospital. The one they said was an idiot. The world has brought them to a point where they realize they are out underneath the curse all by themselves, and they need somebody bigger than they are. So they're gonna talk to somebody who knows that person. He is a friend that's well known. There's no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. But if you're going to be under the blessings, you're going to have to do it on purpose. It's not just going to fall in your lap one day. He's there waiting for you to come to him.